Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Let's pray. Our dear Father, we hear those words that your Son is with us. And so, Lord, we take them to be true. We believe them. And Lord, by application, we believe that He is here this morning by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you are good, that you are our Father, that you desire to feed us and strengthen us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do that now as we look into your word. Bless it. We pray to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever thought about the last words you're going to speak? Ever thought about that? Have you ever pictured yourself lying on your deathbed, friends and family are surrounding you, and they're listening to you, and they're waiting to hear some important word, some word of wisdom, some word of instruction coming from your mouth? Ever thought of yourself in that scenario? You know, no matter what we might say, you've got to believe this, that people would be hanging on your words. They would be assuming that whatever words you're speaking would be important words, significant words. Because normally last words are just that. They're significant. There's a weightiness to last words. Public debaters know that they really have a leg up if they're allowed to speak last. The last word is an important word. Parents, they often think, they puzzle over what they're going to say to their children as they leave for college, as they leave for university. They're important. They're weighty. They're significant. And this morning, we are looking at the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least his last words during his earthly ministry. And just by that, we know they're significant. We know that everything Christ said was significant, but listen, there's an extra significance, if we can say that, to what Christ is saying. I mean, these are his last words. They have got to be extra significant. It's as though he's saying to his men, "Men, here's the last thing I'm going to say to you. I want you to listen to this. I want you to understand this is really, really important." And what is it that he says to his men? What charge does he give his men? What commission does he lay upon them? This: go make disciples. That, he says, is to be a major preoccupation in your life. I want this to consume you. I want you to go and make disciples. That was something the disciples knew something about. Isn't that true? For 3 years, they had spent their lives with Jesus. And their occupation for those 3 years was simply to look and to listen to everything that Jesus did. And so they knew something about making disciples. But Jesus doesn't say to his men, "I want you to go and make just a handful of disciples. I want you to get, 12 more." What does he say? He says, "I want you to go out and make disciples of the nations." Not go into the nations and make disciples. No. He says, "I want you literally to go and disciple the nations." All the nations, he says. That's a big job, isn't it? That's a pretty big job. I mean, can you imagine you're there with the 12 and you're listening to this and Christ says, "Go make disciples of all the nations"? What are you thinking? You're thinking that's a pretty big job. It's a sort of commission that you would really appreciate Christ to sort of flesh out, wouldn't you? And maybe to encourage you and stir you up to do it. Make disciples of nations. What does that mean? I mean, how do you do that? And can I have a little bit of encouragement, by the way, to do that? Well, Christ gives that here in this commission. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to simply listen to Christ as He issues this commission, which is to you, by the way. And we're going to focus on three principles or three guidelines for making disciples. And then three encouragements that I hope will encourage you to make disciples. So first of all, three principles for making disciples. The first one is this. How exactly do you go about making disciples? How do you do that? Well, Christ gives us some help here. First of all, He says, disciples are made as you go and bring people to Jesus Christ. Seems obvious? Maybe not so obvious for us. Christ says you are to go. He says, go therefore. See that? Go. See that little word? Go therefore, He says, and make disciples. Wouldn't it be great if Christ said, just sort of wait. Just wait where you are and I'm going to bring the people to you. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if people came to us and said, listen, I'm really interested in becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can you tell me how to do that? That's not what Jesus said. He doesn't say wait, He says go. You want to know why He says go? Going assumes something about the world we go to. What does it assume, friends? What does it assume? What does it assume? It assumes that people aren't naturally going to come to us, doesn't it? There's a reason why Christ is saying go. It's because people don't naturally want to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Remember what Romans 3 says? What does Paul say in Romans 3? He says, no one seeks after God. Nobody. Here's why Christ is saying go. It's because naturally people don't want to come to Jesus. We've got to go to them and bring Jesus to these people. You see, here's how people become disciples of Jesus Christ. You go to them. And you bring them to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, makes it pretty clear. How shall they believe of Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, they're not going to hear it, they're not going to believe it unless you're going, unless you and I are bringing this word, this gospel, to people who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Do you know a more difficult thing to do? What could possibly be more difficult than that? I mean, when you think about it, when you think about the awkwardness of doing that, when you think about the fear factor, when you think about, well, what will they think of me? I'm a bit worried they're not going to like me. Because you know that although it's the greatest news, that you've got to tell them the bad news. And the bad news is that we're all born as sinners, and we are all as sinners on the road to everlasting ruin. And unless we believe in Jesus Christ, we perish. And we know that that's not the message that our culture wants to hear. And so what happens? We get nervous, and we spend our days looking at our feet. That's what we do. We don't want to go. We want to avoid people. We want to do everything, anything, but go. I mean, isn't that true? Does this resonate? Does this touch a chord? Is this true? Maybe not with those of you who, you know, have reached a level of piety where this is no longer an issue, but maybe for the rest of us, it is, and it's an issue. It's a difficulty. This is a hard thing we're being called to do. How do you do it? How do you just go out and go and bring people to Jesus Christ? You know, I don't know if there's any easy answer, but I remember once talking to an artist friend of mine, and I said to her, what do you do when you're staring at a blank canvas and you have desire to paint this great painting, but, you know, all you see is this blank canvas? What do you do? Because for me, I would be absolutely paralyzed by the thought of having to try and create this masterpiece. What do you do? You know what she said to me? She said this. It was so simple and yet so profound. She said, you begin. you begin. And what does that mean for us in terms of going? It means this. It means that you simply get into the lives of people around you. It means that you go to your neighbor, you go to your friend, you have dinner, you get together with them, you develop a relationship, you get into their lives, you get into their hearts, you figure out what makes them tick, you talk to them, you get to know them, you build friendships, you develop relationships. That's what it means. That's what it means to begin. That's what it means to go to people. Our connection group on Wednesday night, they decided that they're going to go and talk to three people this week and just ask them a very basic question. What makes you happy? That's it. And maybe invite them to come and listen to the answers of other people who are coming out to our discussion or our connection group. What makes you happy? And we agreed that that was something we could do. We could go and ask people that question. You see, it begins by just going. By putting one step in front of the other and just getting into people's lives. This is not a profound thought. You know, this is not brain surgery, friends. This is just a very simple but very practical and basic idea. Jesus says, go. That means we go. That means that we have human contact. That means that we talk. That means we get into people's lives. We go. You want to know how to make disciples? Christ says, go. Go, he says. Go and make disciples of the nations. We're not going to make disciples by sitting around. We're not going to make disciples by waiting for God to simply bring them, you know, to knock on our door. Because to be honest, I've never had anyone knock on my door and say, I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. No, we make them by going. So we got to go. We got to go. Principle two. Disciples are made when they are brought into the church. We live in a weird day when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. Because it seems to me that a big focus in the church today is just making converts. Isn't it? Getting people to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Let's put on a play, we'll put on a performance, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the gospel. And then, you know, we'll get people to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Raise a hand, walk down the aisle. The problem is that oftentimes those people who make that kind of decision are left on their own. But you know what? That was never the way it was supposed to be. Christ does not tell us here to make what? Converts. He tells us to make what? Disciples. And a disciple is someone different than a convert. A disciple is somebody who not only makes a profession of faith, but has a life within the Church of Jesus Christ. And the official sign of entrance into that community, into the people of God, is what? Is baptism. It's a sign that marks people off. It says, here is where my allegiance lies. I'm committed to Jesus Christ. And as a sign of God's favor and grace upon me, I'm receiving this sign and I'm marking myself off with the people of God. You see, here's when we know we've got a disciple. Is she undergoing the waters of baptism? Because this is a huge step. In fact, in some cultures, in Muslim cultures particularly, this is really the decisive step in one's commitment to Jesus Christ. And people have lost their lives for undergoing the waters of baptism. Talked with an Egyptian brother this week. And this man recounted to me that in Muslim cultures, this is really the decisive step. And he's personally known men, women, who have been baptized and lost their lives because of it. Now, that's not our deal here in our culture. If you want to get baptized, what does our culture say? Well, you're either, you know, a religious fanatic, or, you know, if that's good for you, then great. That's our culture. But you see, no matter what our culture says, receiving baptism is a sign, it's a way that the believer, the true believer, says, I'm committed to you, God. And I'm owning your grace and favor upon my life. And henceforth, I am incorporating myself into the people of God. I'm identifying myself as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I worshipped alongside a man who used to be a woman. And this man, by God's grace, came to faith in Jesus Christ and was baptized. And I think that's what it's supposed to be like. I mean, this is what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be like. You know, welcoming people like that, out of that kind of place, into the people of God, into the Church of Jesus Christ. People who identify themselves with Jesus Christ and receive that outward sign in their lives. You know, my goal, my hope, is that we would see many people receiving that sign in this place. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful if on a regular basis we have a baptismal font right about here and people are coming in and the water's just splashing all over the place? Can you imagine that? I mean, isn't that what we want to see? Not people who, you know, raise their hand, who fill the card, you know, who walk an aisle, and then they're gone. But people who commit themselves to Jesus Christ and who are incorporated into the family of God, who are officially marked off by the waters of baptism. I mean, wow. I mean, isn't that what we want to see here? People taken from that place into this place and growing in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see. And so, you see, it's more than just going and bringing people to Christ. It's also having people come into the church and receive that sign of baptism, marked off by the grace of God, for the glory of God. That's what we want to see here. But there's more. There's a third principle. Because you see, a person can make a profession of faith and they can receive the waters of baptism and then just bail. Isn't that true? I mean, haven't we seen that? Don't we know that sort of thing? Is that possible? Sure. I think one of the truest fruits of true discipleship is this. They are willing to be taught and to grow in obedience to Jesus Christ. That's when you know you've got a disciple, a true disciple, on your hands. And that's what Jesus says that we are to do here. He says, listen to this. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what? And what? And teaching them. Look down at your Bible. What does it say? And teaching them what? To observe all things that I have commanded you. All things. When people come to Christ, the expectation should be, friends, that they do grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and that their lives conform to that teaching. You get that? That's when you know you've got a true disciple on your hands. When there's a hunger to study the Word of God, and when there's a passion to conform that person's life to the Word of God, when that person says, listen, would you come and show me anything in my life where there's a problem and a defect, and just point that out, because I want to put it off and I want to put on righteousness. That's when you know you're dealing with a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And Christ says we're to go out and to make these kinds of disciples. You know what? That means something. It means something from you. It means this. It means that you've got to know what Jesus Christ taught. Does that make sense? Because he says if you're going to teach them all things to observe, that means you've got to know these things. Which means, friends, you have got to give yourselves to this book. You've got to be giving yourselves to a study of this Word, filling your heart with these things, not being slack, not being idle, but saying, oh God, I want to be so used by you to have such an influence in the lives of those around me that I'm taking this Word, I'm ingesting it, I'm taking it in, I'm studying it, because I want to be used. And there's a thrilling example of what happens when a man and a woman gives themselves to the study of God's Word. You know where that is? Ezra chapter 7. I think it's verse 10. Ezra is chosen by God in a really unique way in redemptive history. He's used by God to lead the second wave of exiles out of captivity. And here's why he's chosen. Here's what it says. For, that's the reason why, because Ezra had prepared his heart to seek or to study the law of God and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. How come God used Ezra? Why? Because he gave himself to study the Word of God, to put into practice his life, and to teach it. And when a man's heart, when a woman's heart is fixed in that way, then God delights to get a hold of that person and to use them to extend the kingdom of God. We've got to know God's Word, friends. We've got to be students of the Word of God. You want to be blessed? You want to be used to make disciples? God's Word says, get to know His Word. Study it. Study it. This is what it means to make disciples. It means we're going to them. It means we're bringing them into the church. And it means that we're teaching them. We're telling them everything that Jesus Christ taught us. And this is how we disciple people. You ready? You ready to go out there and make disciples? You ready? You really ready? Maybe you need some fire. Maybe you need some encouragement to go out there this morning and do that. How about that? You want some encouragement? You want some motivation? Well, good. I got some of that for you this morning. Actually, I'm getting it from the Lord, actually. And this isn't just one of those, you know, words, those rhema words. I mean, this is a word from the Lord. It's right here. It's packed. It's interlaced throughout the entire commission. Check this out. Christ has authorized you to make disciples. He's authorized you. There's a beginning to this commission. Look at this. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Which, as an aside, you know, really I think affirms his deity. But some doubt it. And now check this out, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You want motivation, encouragement to go make disciples? That's motivation. All authority has been given to me, he says. Did you hear that? You think to yourself, what do you mean it's been given? I thought Jesus already had all authority. Isn't he the Son of God? You know, we read in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's. Psalm 115 that the heavens are the Lord's. Why does Christ now say that it's been given to him? He's not talking about the authority that he possessed as king intrinsically. He's talking about the authority that he gained by his obedience, his mediatorial authority. Because in eternity past, God the Father and God the Son made an agreement. And the agreement was this. The Son would go and live and die for the sins of his peoples. And upon completion of that work, the Father would give him the nations as his inheritance. Psalm 2. Ring a bell? Ask of me and I will give you what? The nations as your inheritance. The outermost ends of the earth as your inheritance. I thought he already owned them. He did. But not mediatorial, not savingly. And that's what Christ is saying here. All authority, that mediatorial authority has been given to me. I have earned it. I have purchased the nations for myself, Christ says. And now that means that there's nothing left to do for Christ but to take possession of. And here's where you come in. Because he has all authority, and because you are his representatives, his ambassadors, that means that you have ministerial authority of a sort to go out and to call the nations to Jesus Christ. As you go out with this word, with the authority of Jesus Christ, you have the green light, friends. And you think about that. Think about that for a minute. When you're going out and you're walking about, and when you're thinking to yourself, well, gee, I wonder if I have a right to talk to that person about Jesus Christ. And I don't feel like I have the place here. Remember this. Christ says you've got the green light. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
He says, therefore, go. I've earned everything. These nations belong to me. I have purchased them with my blood. And now as my ambassadors, as my reps, I'm saying to you, go with that authority. You go anywhere, the highways and the byways. You go into the brothels. You go anywhere. And you understand this. Those things belong to me. They're mine. And I'm sending you out to preach the gospel. You think about that the next time you feel worried or afraid. Or like you're stepping on someone's toes. Friends, you've been given the right, the authority. So you take that authority and you go out and you preach that gospel. Christ has given you authority. He's authorized you to preach this gospel and to make disciples. You want another encouragement? How about this one? Christ promises to be with you as you make disciples. Look down at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Literally every single day. Even to the end of the age. I am with you always. I'm always with you. You ever get talking to somebody and you just feel like it's your words? That you've got to come up with the right thing to say? Do you ever worry that you might not have the right thing to say? Do you ever think to yourself, well, I feel like it's me and them. It's me trying to convince them about how great Jesus Christ is. Do you ever have that sense as you're out, when you have the nerve, let's say, to talk to people about these sort of things? Jesus wants you to remember something, friends. You're not out there by yourself. Even though you cannot see Him, even though He's not visibly at your right side, He's with you. He says, I'll be with you. And that means, my friends, as you go out, as you seek to get into people's lives and to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ with the aim of making them into disciples, that Jesus Christ is going to be there. Lo, I am with you always, every single day. That means today. That means, my friends, that if you and I were to go out of here and we were to talk to people, Jesus would be with us. He'd be with you. A couple weeks ago I said this, there is only one evangelist. There is only one, and that's Christ. Christ speaking through us. Christ working in us and through us into those lives of those people around us. There really is only one evangelist. I mean, take heart in that. Take heart, friends. That's an encouraging thought. You're not on your own. Christ is with you. Lo, I'm with you always. Even at the end of the age. That's an encouragement. There's one more encouragement I'll leave you with this morning. And I'll conclude. It's this. That Christ assures you of victory and success as you make disciples. I cannot foresee Christ saying to the men, I want you to go out and make disciples. But here's the thing. Whether it's going to work or not, I'm not real certain about it. But I want you to try anyways. I want you to go make disciples of the nations. But I cannot promise you that it's going to work. He says, baptize them. And teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. It goes without saying that it's going to be successful. In saying that He wants you to baptize and to teach these nations, He is all but saying it's going to happen. You see that? And it's going to happen because He's with us. You see, people are going to get saved. Disciples are going to be made. This is not any fool's errand. It's going to happen. There's going to be success. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to grow. It can't fail. It can't. I mean, the Scriptures are replete, they're rife with those promises. The kingdom of God will endure forever. It will extend all throughout the world. This is going to happen. The question is, do you want to be part of it? Do I want to be part of this? I do. And I want you to be part of this. And I want you to know something this morning.
that I understand that that is a huge task. And I know that you're probably sitting there in your seats thinking to yourself, I cannot see it. I just cannot envision myself really being involved in this and seeing this happen. I can't see myself with little people that, you know, I have begotten again by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People I can call son and daughter in Christ. I look at, who, by the way, who are my disciples? And we dare. Friends, there's only one who wants you to doubt, and that's Satan. Christ has said this, I'm calling you to be disciple makers. That's what I'm calling you to be. If you're a disciple, Christ's expectation of you is that you would grow into a fully, spiritually reproducing believer. That's the expectation. And that happens, my friends, as we spend time with Christ. And as we see and understand who Christ is in our lives, for us, as we get a sense of how great and awesome a Savior He is. You want disciples. You want to make disciples. Christ says, you come to me, you spend time with me, I'll give you those disciples. I once asked my mentor, where do you get disciples? This is a man who has mentored scads of men. Where do you get these men? He said, Kieran, you get them on your knees. You want disciples, you get them on your knees. You pray for them. You pray that God would give people to you that you can bring to my son. And I'll make them into disciples. Listen, Christ has given you full authorization to go and preach this gospel. Listen to this. He's going to be with you as you do this. Listen to this. Listen. There's going to be success. There's going to be victory. The process of making disciples does not end in this generation. It continues. The question that we have got to resolve this morning is, are we going to be part of that disciple-making process? Are we going to be in this commission? And I'm saying, yeah, we are. Right? That's what we're called to do. Here's what we're called to be. Christ's last words, go, He says. You want to go? You want to come with me? Because that's where I'm going. Christ is saying, Kieran, here's where we got to go. You want to come with me? Then let's go together. And let's make disciples of the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Friends, Christ is going to do a work. I'm confident of that. And I believe He can use us with all of our limitations. With all of our failures. With all of our problems. I believe He can do that. I believe in doing that, He's going to bring a lot of glory to His name. And that's what we need. That's what we want. To see God do that. Let God be glorified in this place as we give ourselves to the making of disciples, the discipling of the nations. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we want to be part of this great, great commission. And so, God, we call upon You this morning. We cry out to You. Lord, we pray that You would give us the tenacity and the strength to go. And, Lord, to get into the lives of people all around us with the view of escorting them into the presence of Your dear Son to find hope and life. Father, we have experienced a drought of sorts in the past 3 years. And Lord, it is our desire that You would send refreshing springs of salvation. And Lord God, that we would see a great many own You as Lord and Savior. Father, we have just heard that here is the place where disciples are made. So, Lord, it is at your throne that we bow. It's before you that we come, humbly. Lord, we acknowledge that we are incapable of this in ourselves. And so, Lord, we look to you. Father, please, for the sake of those who are perishing and for the sake of your name, we pray that you would bring us into people's lives. Help us open our mouths. Oh God, help us open our mouths. Help us, Lord, to see the fruit of our labors here. As we see lives change so drastically, so wonderfully. As we see this commission becoming their reality. And Father, we pray for those who are here who have been brought to Christ. And Father, we pray that at last they would show signs of that spiritual reproductive maturity. That they themselves would father and mother children begotten again by the gospel. We pray for others, Lord, who have been in the faith for a long time. And Lord, we pray that they too would be given the blessing of seeing children and their children's children. Father, we pray that here in this place, here in this fellowship, that our ministry would be marked off by the making of disciples. And so, Lord, hear us as we call upon you. And delight our souls as we see your kingdom advance through this process. For we pray this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.